Today's episode of The Grave Talks is brought to you by BetterHelp. You guys, listeners of The Grave Talks, can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/GraveTalks. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GraveTalks. Today on The Grave Talks, Seeing the Other Side, a conversation with Mary J. Williamson. When you grow up hearing voices and seeing people that others cannot, it can lead to many questions. Questions about one's own sanity, questions about one's relationship to the rest of the world, as well as questions about life and death. Where do we go when we die? And who are these people that are seemingly no longer living, yet very much still full of energy? Today, we hear about this life through the eyes of Mary J. Williamson on The Grave Talks.
The initial spark to look further into the paranormal was some childhood experiences. We lived in a house and there were noises all over, footsteps when no one was at home, doors go open and they closed on their own, disembodied voices, and yeah, all kind of that kind of stuff. I didn't know much about spirits because I was very young. I think the interest came forward with me when I was about 14. A friend of mine had a Ouija board, told me about it, and she told me if we use the board, we can talk to spirits. And we did it a few times. And after the spirit board experience, I looked deeper into everything I can lay my hands on about the paranormal. So
tell me about that first experience. Your friend brings up a Ouija board. You obviously use it. What happened? Yeah. What was that experience like?
I thought she was pulling my leg because we didn't have a proper Ouija board, but she made some papers with letters on it and numbers on it and yes and no. And we took a glass and used it to talk to spirit. And the first thing I noticed was when I put my finger on the glass became very, very, very cold. And the only thing I could think of is, how does she do this? How can she get that glass so cold? So it moved and moved and moved. We were writing down the letters, and I really, really didn't believe anything was real about it. So I jumped off, let go of the glass, and sat down to write down any numbers and letters that came through. And during writing, we all heard an old man cough just behind us and some footsteps. So I jumped off my chair, picked up all the pieces of paper and the glass and shut the whole thing down. After a few weeks, after I coped with it all, what just happened, asked about it, to some friends, they told me what would happen, and the cold glass was a sign for the connection. So we did it a second time, and we got German phrased words. And I live in the Netherlands, so German phrase words is peculiar and weird. So I thought, well, this is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that went on a few years in my house. There was always activity. I didn't take much notice of it. The knocking, the doors, the footsteps, you get used to it. But after I heard what went on in the area where I live, it was a trigger for me. I live around 300 meters next to the John Frost Bridge, and is well known from World War II. And it's the bridge which is central for a bridge too far. So we were the center of Operation Market Garden. And many Germans walked around the ground where I lived. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of fights, a lot of deaths. So that was the beginning of my paranormal journey.
After you used the Ouija board, then this activity began to present itself in and around your house.
It was already there.
Okay.
Yeah. In every home I lived, there was activity. So at one side, I thought it was strange. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, I was used to it. I had that kind of noises and activity as long as I can remember. The first time I was 3 or 4 years old, that I heard footsteps and voices and noise and knockings. So I thought everyone would hear it, and every friend I had the same experiences. But it came clear when we used the Ouija board that I was the only one in the whole gang of friends who had that experiences in my home.
So you were having those experiences in your home yourself, and hearing those things and experiencing those things. And then you discover that you're the only one that's able to pick up on these things. What, as a child, is going through your mind at that moment?
That it was weird. I was not big imagination, looking for logical answers, but I couldn't find them. Asked my parents about it, and they had no clue what I was talking about. So I kept it a lot to myself.
Did your experiences or your sensitivity to experiencing things on the other side continue through your childhood, while you wouldn't speak of it necessarily to others and you'd keep it locked to yourself? Were you still having those experiences?
Yes. And some were a bit traumatic because I heard a voice telling me, you don't have to go home because your grandma died. And I thought I was nuts. No one was around. So I walked home, came at my place. My aunt was there, not my mom. And while I was asking where my mom was, she told me she went to your grandma. So I told her, because she died. And everyone was in total shock because I couldn't know. And this went on till now.
Sure.
Throughout my whole life, yeah.
You having these experiences and then relaying them to your family, was there dismissal of what you were experiencing? Was there just confusion? Was there acceptance? What were you feeling from your family as far as feedback when you did try and talk about it? And when, for example, you had this knowledge that they couldn't explain of your grandmother?
My mom tried to understand, but couldn't at all. And yeah, my father thought I was nuts.
Okay.
when I was older, he thought I was on drugs.
Yeah.
He asked if I used weed. I told him he was not. So,
yeah.
After I met my biological father, and I think I was 18. He told me what he did in life, and he told me about his psychic abilities, and there came the puzzle all in one. All the pieces, they fit in.
Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. This is such an important thing. As we go into 2021, your mental health is important. If you've been kind of letting it slip away in this last year, I get it. I completely understand. It can happen inadvertently because so much has happened so quickly. But 2021 may be the year that you need to say, you know what? I need to be the better version of me to get through this for myself, for my family, for the people I care about. BetterHelp, no matter where you are, is there for you. So if you've looked into getting some help before, talking to a therapist, talking to a counselor, and you've been like, my area doesn't have it, or my insurance doesn't cover it, or this or that, look at BetterHelp, because it may fix all of those things that may have been holding you back in the past. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, and who doesn't have that right now, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And you can start communicating within 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely and online. In fact, there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available in many areas. It's available for clients worldwide, so wherever you are, you get help. Log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor, get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with traditional therapy. Yes, that's gone. You can stay at home, and it's great. I find it more comfortable doing this at home than going to the waiting room. It's just because you're already kind of in your naturally comfortable environment, which to me, it helps. It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, as do I. You can check out their website and their reviews, betterhelp.com/reviews. Let me just give you one of them. It says, Kate is a great listener. She follows my conversation, picks out the important threads. I resonate with the tools Kate uses, art therapy especially. I feel I'm making great progress sorting through issues in a short time. Excellent match. And there's all different styles of therapy here. There's all different matches that you can make with a therapist, and you can switch counselors at any time. That's a great thing about this. Visit betterhelp.com/gravetalks. That's Better, H-E-L-P. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer right now for you guys, listeners of the Grave Talks, 10% off your first month. Go to betterhelp.com/gravetalks. That's betterhelp.com/gravetalks. You're saying your father, he had this gift and this ability as well. Yeah. And you discovered that when you did get a chance to meet him. How did that conversation come about? I mean, obviously when you get to meet him and all that, that's one thing in itself, but then to bring up that topic and that conversation, how did that come about?
He started it.
Okay.
He told me about his life, what he has done, because he left my mom when she was still pregnant. And he told me what his job was. I have a half brother, so that's also very nice to talk about. And after a while, he started to telling me I have a weird hobby. So I asked him, what's this weird hobby you have? Because I'm very curious about everything. And he told me I talk to dead people, so I laughed. I laughed for about a half an hour. And after I was done laughing, he asked me, do you think I'm nuts? I said, no, but the way you brought it up, I just couldn't stop laughing. But it makes sense, because I have had the same experiences throughout my life, and no one understood. So can you please tell me what it is you do exactly, how it works, and all the things I need to know. So that's about it, how we get started about all those conversations about paranormal, spirit world, being a psychic, also working with energies. You can think of anything what we didn't discuss.
When you had that conversation with him, and you're really squaring up these abilities that you have, but maybe don't know why they're there or how to use them, or, you know, it's like, here you go, but there's no instruction manual. What was your dad almost kind of like the instruction manual for you of, okay, you got this, and here's how I've done this. Here are some ways that maybe this can be used for good for yourself.
Yeah. Not everything he does works for me, because I can't shut it off by myself. I have, because I do sense emotions as well, and that's something I can't shut off. So that's sometimes a problem. But the other things, like seeing spirits, yeah, I do think I do have a switch.
Share with our audience more about what exactly your abilities entail in terms of seeing spirits, hearing spirits, sensing them. What is a normal day for you when you're sensing these things that would differ from the average individual who does not have that level of sensitivity?
I try to ignore everything, because if I'm at my work, during the day, I try to ignore everything I hear. But so now and then it pops up. So imagine me working in a store, looking at all the things we need to order, and I hear my name called out, and I react on it. Everyone does it. So I'm shouting, yes, what? And no one is there. Really, no one. And if a colleague of mine observes it, the first time they jumped, but now they're used to it. Only the younger colleagues really think it's scary, strange. So that's why I try to ignore it during the day. But if people come to close, who are sick, don't feel well, have a headache, and they come too close, I pick up on the headache, nausea, everything they have, all the issues I pick on. And that goes on during my workday, and I really need my breaks to get back to my own energy, and even to get my energy level higher as normal. So I drink a lot of Red Bull, eat a lot of chocolate. Otherwise, I'm really drained before the end of the day. And when I get home, I really need to sit down for a minute to get in the zen mode, I call it. Mm-hmm. And at home, I hear whispers all the time. So normally I really, really, really ignore it, because you get nuts. But so now and then, if there is a spirit who wants to be heard, they're teasing my pets. So my parrot reacts on something what isn't really physical there. Getting scared, saying hi, jumping to the side of the fence, giving kisses. And if I walked to the area, it's really most of the time a cold spot. So if that is happening, I will sit down and do automatic riding. Mm-hmm. Or I try to meditate and see what they really need to tell me, and ask if afterwards if they be gone, because it's my safe area, my home is my own place, my safe area, and I need my own energy and not be drained by all the spirits in my home.
Sure. When you're in these situations at work and you hear your name being called, is it difficult to differentiate between the living and the dead, between a coworker calling your name out and you hearing it from someone that is not there to the rest of the world?
I don't hear the difference. Okay. That's why I react. Yeah, there's no difference. And sometimes it's not so funny, because I get shy, and my cheeks are getting red, and don't feel comfortable. So funny.
I mean, it's got to be very interesting and difficult sometimes to deal with that. And you say that you're able to almost shut it out when you're in a situation like that at work, but you're also able to turn it on when you needed to. That is for those of us who do not have that ability, how can we understand how you do that? Because it's a difficult concept to grasp. It would be like me saying, my children are shouting in the other room, but I'm turning off hearing them. I don't know how I can do that. It'd be a great ability to have, but I'm not able to just to do that. So with the two being hard to differentiate, but you have the ability to kind of tune the one out. Explain to us in the best of terms that you can how that is done with someone like yourself.
I have a hearing problem, so I don't hear every frequency. And since I was a child, if I watch TV, I can shut off everything surrounding me, my whole area. So I'm literally in the movie. So you can look at it like I'm in my own private bubble. And I'm shutting off everything. That's the only way I can explain it. It's like being in a bubble.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's very interesting. Your phone is or the connection here is starting to almost sound like a bubble again. So I don't know what's changed, but with these abilities that you have, and you then having the chance to talk to your father about his abilities as well, why do you think it is that these abilities are something that seem to follow part of your family lineage?
I didn't see any use of it. I always thought of it as a curse. Because I couldn't do anything to make a living of it. Not anything I thought was interesting. I see everyone in my area, friends, they work as a psychic, as a medium, but it didn't appeal to me. I'm a manager. I like working in stores. I like selling stuff. So it's a whole different working area. So I really didn't see any use of it. So I thought it was a curse. But I think I was 21. I jumped in psychology, Reiki, hypnosis, regression. So I jumped from area to area in the paranormal to understand more. And Yeah, and from that, I see it as something to help in paranormal investigations, because I can sense when something is around. Sometimes I hear them, not all the time. So I can put places out, to put rampart, voice recorders. So since 2001, I do home investigations. I do investigations in buildings. I joined a team. Since then, I saw the use of the abilities. So I can point out where the activity is, where to put a voice recorder. Sometimes I see them even standing close to us, hearing them telling things. So yeah, since that time, it's useful and not so much of theirs.
Sure, because you found a like-minded community that are interested in the same things, and some, I'm sure, probably have similar abilities and such as well, that believe and understand what it is you're going through, what daily life is like for you.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you decided and you learned that hey, there's a way that I can use these abilities and skills that I have for good and not just tormenting myself, dealing with them and fear of, you know, being judged by others. Was there any reservation about going into doing things like home investigations and such, not, you know, not really knowing exactly what it is you may come across or encounter?
It was a hard thing to jump into, because you don't know if the things you see are real, because I really thought for a very, very, very long time it was really my imagination. And after you get the evidence, I had a lot of, excuse me for my language, but WFTF.
You can swear. Don't worry. We swear on the show all the time.
I had a lot of what the fuck moments.
Sure.
And after that, they were how? Because you don't really, really understand what is going on and why. Afterwards, it's just... how do you call it? Addictive.
Sure.
Yeah.
When you initially began going out there and going into some investigations, joining a group and such, personally, number one, I'm assuming what I'm hearing in the background there is a bird and not an EVP, correct? Because we'll get emails.
Yes. Yeah, it's
okay.
A parrot.
It's a parrot. That answers that question. Okay, so no need for emails, everyone. When you first started getting out there into the field and having those experiences, what were some of them that really kind of made you do that, made you have those feelings of what the fuck? You know, this, you obviously kind of had them privately throughout your life when you were experiencing this, but now you're in a totally different setting and a different application for those skills. What stood out to you at the beginning?
Walking into a home environment, feeling heartache, feelings to throw up, headaches. And when I pointed them out, always got validation, and those were the biggest what the fuck moments.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. The other way to deal with it is, I learned my whole body. I know every pain, every muscle, everything I feel all the time. And you need to, because you don't have, you can't mix it up, because when I have a stomach ache, mm-hmm. And it's my own pain and I shout it out, well, no one is going to validate it. So you have to be very secure about what you feel, where you feel it, when you feel it. And when you speak out, it drops completely. So the feeling goes away and you can go further. But sometimes they even let you feel how they died, and that's not amusing.
When you say they let you feel how they died, are you literally expressing, for example, let's say someone was stabbed, just for the sake of the conversation. Are you then literally feeling that blade going into you if they are trying to show you and let you feel how they died?
I have had that experience, yes. Even a choking experience one time.
Now, these would be experiences that if you live through them, and obviously many of the individuals or spirits that you've communicated with, they're spirits. They're not here anymore. So the events didn't progress to the point of them surviving. It was their demise. It would be traumatic if you survived it. And then for you to be experiencing it and surviving it, because there truly isn't a blade going through you. There's no one that's putting their arms around your neck and strangling you. But I would have to imagine that the fact that you are experiencing that as close to what they felt without the actual physical repercussions, that has to be traumatic.
Yeah, it is. It resulted in burnout about 4 years ago. So I had some meds to shut everything down. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't experience those feelings for about a year, year and a half, to even deal with all the traumas. And I did have a personal coach who went through all the experiences step by step and placing it and leaving it behind. So, yes, some were traumatic.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Mary J. Williamson about seeing the other side. In part two, what would doctors tell Mary when she visited them and explained what she was feeling and what she was seeing? When a spirit makes you feel their pain, what is their goal? When dealing with a spirit who is suffering, how can Mary help them? And if a spirit doesn't want to move on, is it the job of the living to make them? We'll discuss all of that and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Simply go to thegravetalks.com and click Become a Gravekeeper, or directly through patreon.com/thegravetalks. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus content, as well as advanced episodes of the show, ad-free, weeks before they're released to the public. Hundreds of episodes just waiting for you to binge upon, and it's only $5 a month. That's what keeps this show on the air. Please do support it, check it out, and help keep us afloat. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.